those of you who will be staying, and please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, and we'll get there in a little bit. This morning I'm going to do something a little unusual. I've done this two or three times since I've been a full-time pastor, but usually I read an introduction, I read the scripture, then I preach the message, give the invitation. This morning I am going to be reading the introduction, preaching the message, giving the scripture, and then preaching a little more. So it's not going to be what it normally is, so y'all just hold on. Don't be sleeping, okay? I've got a couple ushers in the back. If I find you sleeping, I'll just point at you, and they'll come and tap you on the shoulder. 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, can a heart be changed? Can a heart that's turned away from God, not looking for God, not wanting God, not receptive to God, can a heart that is wayward from God, can that heart be changed? We saw evidence of many in Scripture that had all the evidence in the world that Christ was indeed their long-awaited Messiah, yet they would not change to follow their Messiah. We saw several that knew Jesus was their Messiah, but gave up all their knowledge to have worldly treasures and would not follow Him. We saw that there are hundreds of examples of people who found themselves at the end of their rope and did not do what they should have done until later on in life and make a heart change for Jesus. We also learned that the longer a person turns their heart from God, the harder it is to return to God. And the fact is, it's more likely that they'll never return back to Jesus. Today I want to explore another heart topic. The title of this morning's service is this. Now I expect a lot of people to perk up when I give you the title. Is it possible? Is it possible to break the heart of God? How? The message title is this: how to break God's heart. How to break God's heart. Now, let me ask this. Is it possible to break a heart? I mean, it's inside. It's behind our lungs. It's an organ. It's deep inside there. I mean, I know somebody can shoot you, and that's breaking your heart. Or, you know, y'all have seen those horror movies where I don't watch them anymore. Goodness gracious, I can't. I just don't like them. They're not real. Y'all with me? Where they'll kill a person and these crazy people will cut their heart out and bite their heart. I'm not talking about that either. But, I mean, yeah, I guess that could be, you know, breaking somebody's heart. What does it mean to break someone's heart? What does it mean when someone tells you that their heart was broken? I believe a heartbreak can mean many things. But to define it simply, it means something that has caused you great pain, something that makes you lose sleep, deprives you of a clear thought or clear thinking, causes you to think of the occurrence over and over and over and over again. You never quite get over it. You can't quite leave it, and your mind just rolls on and on. And when it does leave, it doesn't take long before it resurfaces later on in life. Heartbreak never leaves you. There seems to be a void that is never filled. Now, this heartbreak issue, and this is just me, it seems that the heart, when the heart breaks, the heart and the mind, I did it backwards, the heart and the mind kind of come together as one, and they talk to each other, and it just causes chaos within your body. Now, I know in a crowd this size that someone answered that question when I asked a few minutes ago, is it possible for a heart to break? Somebody said, yes, I had my heart broken by little Johnny or little Susie when they broke up with me. Somebody probably said that. Now, I guess you could consider this to be a heartache, but not really a heartbreak. What I'm thinking of is a little more sizable than puppy love. Okay? Everybody with me this morning? Now, my mother was supposed to be here with us this morning, and I was going to admit to her some things, but can I tell you that I know I know of several occasions that I broke my mother's heart. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a child, when I was growing up, I didn't care whether I broke my dad's heart. He and I didn't, I mean, we didn't see eye to eye. I didn't like him, and he didn't really like me all that much, and we were fine with that. But to break my mama's heart hurt me. Well, Brother Kyle, what, I mean, as good as you are, as handsome as you are, how in the world could you have broken your mama's heart? Well, I did. I remember a time I was in the ninth grade. It was the first year I was in the ninth grade. I was in the ninth grade two times. The first year I was in ninth grade, I was at Fort Mill High School. And I had a teacher who lived up the street from me, and she was teaching biology. Well, she had stinking breath, and I couldn't listen to her. That's what that's my thought process. I mean, y'all have that teacher who you're sitting there studying, you're trying to apply yourself, right, Colin? Colin thinks this is funny. He does. And you're sitting there studying, and you're going through those vocabulary words and math, you're trying to figure out what's going on. And she comes over, and she does like this right here. Are you doing okay? And you're just like, I was. But she would have these tests, and I'm telling you, how many of y'all have had teachers that give you tests, and they give you a study sheet, but Gary, when you take the test, none of the stuff she asked on the test was on the study sheet. This, Bob, look at Bob's back there raising his hand. Bob, you want to testify? Well, that's what would happen. And she was a neighbor of ours. Well, we got our report cards the first semester, and I made like a D. Or excuse me, the first 9 weeks, I made a D. So my parents were watching the report card when it came the second 9 weeks. Well, we got the second 9 weeks, and she gave me a grade. I don't remember what it was, but Mark, I didn't like it. So back in the day, we didn't have the computers. We just had the printed copy of the report card. Y'all remember, Mr. Janelle? And so I didn't like the grade she gave me, so I changed it. Well, the thing is, did I mention she was a neighbor? So my mom calls up to Miss Pierce and says, Miss Pierce, I'm wondering what Kyle made in biology this past 9 weeks. And just concerned. And she said, well, let me get my grade book. She said, oh, yeah, I see it right here. It's an F. Well, I had written a C. And Miss Pierce used a green pen on all her report cards. Now, I got her handwriting down. That was easy. And it's not hard to change. I got a new report card. So put a C, but I didn't do the green. I did not do the green, so I got busted. I got caught. This was a neighbor. I know I broke my mother's heart. I know I broke her heart. She didn't tell me, but I know that I broke her heart. There was another time, but before I got saved, before I was a Christian, I wasn't a good kid. I wasn't. I got caught breaking into a house. And this was another neighbor. And I was off with my friends, and my mom called the friend's house. We didn't have cell phones back in there. We didn't need them. So she calls the woman's house and says, can you find my son and tell him that his dad are on his way to come pick him up? Now, I don't know how it is in your family, but when you're somewhere and you get that call, that's never a good thing. That means that, it means a lot of things, but one thing it definitely means is you will get a beating. So I get in the car, and I can tell Mom's crying, and Dad says, so tell me about what you did. And I was thinking, which thing? We already did the report card thing. Which thing? And he said, tell us what you did two doors down. And I'm thinking, which two doors down? But finally they came out with it, and they told me, and I admitted it. I was a stupid kid, and that broke my mother's heart. It really did. When I dropped out of college when I was 21 to get married, it broke my mama's heart, because she wanted me to graduate. Now, I did later on, about 10 or 15 years later, but it broke my mother's heart when I dropped out of college to get married. Again, she never told me that I broke her heart. Church, I knew I did. I knew that I did. Now, can I tell you that my children have broken their mother's heart? My children have broken their mother's heart. Can I tell you that I've held her in my arms several times and she's cried herself to sleep? Listen, my heart doesn't break when my children do something wrong. Listen, mine breaks when they come back home. Woke up this morning. There are 8 people in the house. And 4 dogs. When they come home, they bring other people. And listen, we've had exchange students, and they come back and they bring their relatives with them. Now, Lars, y'all pray for Lars. Lars is going to get on an airplane, and he's going to fly back to Germany tomorrow. But, I'm sure he'll come back. They always come back. But, church, I've watched my children, all of them. At some point in time, they've broken their mother's heart. Can I tell you that every single time that I've ever broken a heart on any person, mother, wife, children, every time that I've broken somebody's heart, I've known beforehand. Many times I've known beforehand. I knew that what I was about to do was going to cause heartbreak, and I did it anyway. Why do you do that? Why do we do this? Why do we have a beforehand knowledge and yet we still do it? Well, before we answer that, let me ask another question. Have you ever wondered, what if or anything, does anything break God's heart? I mean, God's God. God knows everything. God is in yesterday, he's in today, and where it blows our mind, he's already in tomorrow, Mr. White. He's already there. He's paving a way, preparing us a way that we might go to follow him. Now, as he's preparing a way, we usually look at God's way and go the other way, but God is still in tomorrow preparing a way for us. What is it, Brother Frank, that breaks God's heart? I believe if we look through Scripture and we look down through the annals of time, I believe, church, listen to me, I really believe that it broke God's heart when Adam and Eve failed. I do. I believe God created the perfect living environment. Can you imagine what it was like in Eden? He created the perfect environment for man to live and to communicate and to commune with God. We didn't have to kill animals. Listen, we were all vegetarians back in those days. Now, I imagine we look kind of sideways at them cows thinking, you look like you taste good. But we ate things that God made for us with his hands. We ate from the ground. God communicated. I really believe that it broke God's heart when Adam and Eve failed. Really, it was Eve. Eve failed, and she brought Adam into the fold with her. I believe that it broke God's heart when he had to destroy the original creation. I really do. I hear older people, they say, look at the fall leaves. It's so beautiful. I see some of y'all on Facebook. I've got my toes in the sand worshiping God's creation. Listen, this isn't God's original creation. It's not. How beautiful it would have been if we could have lived in fellowship with God the way he created us to fellowship with him initially. What would it would have been like to live in an aquarium, because that's what it was like. It had never rained. God did it all for us. What must it have been like if we wouldn't have corrupted what God had given us? Church, I believe that it broke God's heart when the Hebrew children constantly turned their back on him. I mean, the Old Testament's a record of that. God, my Wednesday night class, if the Old Testament could talk, what would it say? Return to me. Because that's what God is saying all throughout the Old Testament. Come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. They would come for a short period of time. They would hit an unbelievable spiritual high, and then they would just fall to the pits of hell. Turn their back on God. I imagine it broke God's heart to see his people that he loved so much that he created to spiritually rise and fall like a thermometer in the spring, winter, summer, and fall. Children, hey, listen, church, I believe that it broke God's heart when David failed him. David. Y'all remember little David? The one that God sent. He sent Samuel. He said, Samuel, listen, go. I want you to anoint a new king. Because Saul, he's not listening to what I'm saying, dude. He's been disobedient more than once, but this last time, I'm done with him. I want you to go anoint another king. Little David. He looked at all of Jesse's sons, and he says, nope, there's none here. Is there anybody else? Where could he be? And he says, well, I've got one little boy, but he's out watching the sheep. He's a shepherd. Surely, you know, you don't want him to come. He says, bring him. We're not going to sit down and eat until David comes. And as soon as David walked in the presence of Samuel, God said, that's the one. Anoint him. And listen, David was the joy of God's heart. He followed after. Who in the world? Hey, listen, I wouldn't walk up to a giant with a slingshot and a rock. Would you? I wouldn't try to entertain a king that tried to kill me five times and had a knife to his throat and I'd not kill him when he's trying to kill me. Listen, this man honored God so well, but he failed. I believe it broke God's heart when David, even David failed him. Church, I believe it broke God's heart to see his one and only son beaten to a bloody pulp, mocked, spit upon, and nailed to a tree. Listen, God could have stopped it at any time, but he didn't. And I've said this before, but I want you to understand this. God knew what was going to happen, didn't he? And couldn't he have stopped it? Yes, he could have stopped it at any time. And because he did not stop it, he allowed Jesus to be murdered, right? Let's take it one step further. Because God knew it was going to happen, God could have stopped it at any time. He knew that Jesus was going to be murdered, and he did not stop it. God murdered his own son. God murdered his own son. Listen, I've been pretty mad at my children from time to time, and I've thought about killing them. But can you imagine how it broke God's heart to murder his own son? Let it happen when he could stop it. That had to be heartbreaking. Church, can I tell you what I think breaks God's heart today? Is anybody interested? Look at the world around us. Look what's taking place. I had a preacher friend send me a message just this morning. Tripp sent me a message this morning and says, you're going to love this. Former First Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, right next to where we have our house in Greer, South Carolina. Have you seen this morning? This morning they are ordaining a transgender gay man to the ministry. Did I say former Southern Baptist? Former Southern Baptist. They're CBF now. Do you believe that things are taking place in the world today that are breaking God's heart? Oh, yeah, I imagine so. I'm over the top now. I'm getting ready to head home. Y'all hold on with me. What is it that's breaking God's heart today? Number one, I believe it breaks God's heart is this. Man's rejection. Man's rejection of him in the face of undeniable evidence. There is undeniable evidence that God is with us today. Today. And yet man rejects God. Well, Brother Kyle, I know what you're going to do. You're going to, you know, you're going to tell us about a baby's heartbeat. Well, yeah, listen, a baby's heartbeat. Baby in its mother's womb's heart starts beating between day 18 and 21. There is nothing medically in the woman's body that can start that heartbeat. Talk to a cardiologist. He said, look, it can't happen. A heartbeat has to start from an electric discharge or static discharge. There's nothing in, Jennifer, there was nothing in your body that could start your baby's heartbeat but the hand of God. Nothing. Nothing. That is undeniable proof that God exists. He lives. Listen, if you go out in space, everything you throw out into space floats away everything. Everything. But yet we stand still in the orbit and we don't move. That's exactly right. The sun stands still and then we orbit and we rotate, but it doesn't move out of its space. That's right. How in the world can it be? It is undeniable evidence that God is real. Well, hold on, Brother Kyle. The earth is supported by and held in place by the gravitational pull of the sun and the moon, and the moon is in gravitational pull from the stars and the universe, and that's what's said. Yeah, but it's all in the palm of my Savior's hand. Listen, there is undeniable proof that God exists. And it's undeniable that man continues to reject Him. I believe that breaks God's heart. I believe it breaks God's heart to see Christians who will not engage in the fight against Satan and spread His gospel message. It blows my mind that people will accept the free gift of salvation and sing praises unto God, but never do anything for Him. Listen, we were created, all of us, from the tops of our heads to the tips of our shoes, to be a walking, talking billboard for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How dare you live your life the way you want to when He paid the ultimate price for you? How dare you never do anything, never say a word about the Savior of the world? How dare you live your life and accept that free gift and never do anything for Him? When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? How He changed your life. How often do you have the opportunity? Every time somebody asks you, how are you doing? Every time. How many times today is somebody going to ask you, how are you doing? How many times? When Colin asked me, Brother Kyle, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Jesus changed my life. Wade, was that hard? It breaks God's heart to see Christians who never engage and spread the gospel. I really believe that. Listen, I believe it breaks God's heart this way as well. For children who do not know who Jesus is and what He's done for them. Do you realize that there's children in the farms, Mark, that if you walk up to them and say, do you know Jesus? They'll say, who? I believe it breaks God's heart when children are picked up in our parking lot to go to school. Y'all seen them? When children are dismissed up and down this road by the droves. They drive right by this church and they don't know anything about this church. They don't know anything about Jesus whatsoever at all. I believe it breaks God's heart to see children who don't know who He is. Let's look now at what I believe the number one issue that breaks God's heart more than any other today. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. All that was my introduction. We're getting ready to get started now. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone who says to me, being Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only, listen, not all will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. Do a self-evaluation real quick. Is that you? Am I in there? Am I safe? On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name, drive out demons in Your name, and do many miracles in Your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. I believe it's going to hurt God's heart, break God's heart, Lisa, to look at anybody He's created and say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, get with me here. Understand here. We're talking about God, God in heaven. And He loves you so much that, listen, He created you. And He created you, each and every one of you, with a purpose and a plan. I'm going to create Bill. And I'm going to put in his heart a love for children and youth. And I'm going to nurture that, and I'm going to pursue that. And I am going to use that gift that I'm putting in his heart to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to do that. That's my plan for Bill. Now, I've got a plan and a purpose and a gift that I'm going to put in Steve's heart. He loves to sing praise and worship unto me, and I'm going to give him the ability and the countenance to stand in front of a group of people. It's going to be hard at first, but once he does it and he gets permission from his wife, he's going to stand before the congregation and lead them in praise and worship. I'm going to put in the heart of Tony the ability to relate to college-age students, because they're hard to deal with. And people need to be able to. They're an unreached people group. That age group, when they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, maybe before they graduate high school, it's in there, and I'm trying to nurture them, but they go crazy. I know they go crazy once they graduate high school, and they think, well, I'm free. I'm going to do what I want to, and I'm going to put it in Tony's heart to try and guide them back to me. God has put a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. All of us. None of us are excluded. What are you doing with it? I believe it breaks God's heart when somebody stands before Him. And this, church, I believe this happens. I really do. When we die, Scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I love talking with some of my smart aleck preacher friends. Y'all know, y'all got them. This is what I'll do with them. I'll throw them a trick question, Mark. I'll say, do you believe that every person who ever lived will go to heaven? And they're like, no. I don't believe every person that ever lived. I do. I believe that every person who's ever walked the face of this earth will go to heaven. But they ain't staying long. Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Listen, Jesus isn't going to hell for you to kneel before Him. That's going to be one of the worst things about hell, is you're going to know what you missed. Your eyes are going to be open to the glory and magnificence and the righteousness of God. You are going to look Him in the face. You're going to see the suffering that He took for you. You're going to see the marks on His body and the holes in His hands and His feet. You're going to look at the magnificence of heaven. You're going to hear the choir and the music, and you're going to see people from all ages falling down and worshiping Him, and He's going to look at you. And when you first get there, I believe that you don't know that you're not staying. You're going to be there and you're going to say, hey, Jesus, how you doing? Good to see you. And Jesus is going to look at you and say, you know, how are you doing? You know, we're self-righteous. Jesus is going to look at him. Let's look back at verse 22 and try to get a perspective of that day. And on that day, when that person who thinks they're saved stands before them, they're going to look at the Lord and say, didn't I prophesy in your name? Hey, Jesus, me and you were tight. I prophesied in your name. Hey, Jesus, listen, not only that, I drove out demons in your name. And I did many miracles in your name. We're not talking about the average pew-sitting Christian. We're talking about people that were actively doing something. They were doing it thinking they were doing it in Jesus' name, but they were doing it their own name. They were doing it for their own gratification and pats on their own back. And Jesus said, look, you know, you did a lot of good works, but you didn't do them in my name. You didn't understand the price that was paid for you, and you never accepted me as your personal Savior. Never did it. At this point in time, church, as they're standing in front of Jesus in heaven, this is where that scripture is going to take place, because scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Listen, for the Christian, I believe when we get to heaven, the first thing we're going to do is fall on our knees and understand the magnificence and understand the price that was paid, because we've lived it. But those who think they're saved and think they've done all this to earn their way to heaven, when Jesus looks at them and says, hey, listen, I appreciate you doing all that and you tried to use my name, but I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. I don't know about you, but that is when the person is going to fall on their knees, and that's when they're going to realize the price that was paid, but they're going to understand the gravity of what's getting ready to take place. They're going to be begging for mercy that's not going to be granted to them, that would have been granted to them all their life on earth. Now they're wanting mercy. Now they're wanting grace. And listen, Jesus is a loving and a righteous God. He's willing to extend his mercy and his grace as long as you have breath in you. But please, please, if you don't get anything else from this message, understand this. He is a righteous God. And if he says something, he means it. So please understand that you can live your life however you want to. But when you stand before Jesus, listen, and you beg for mercy, beg for grace, it's too late then. Your time's over. Do you reckon that happens, Bill? That at this point in time, when people stand before Jesus, now they're saying, oh, Jesus, please give me mercy. Please spare me. Please give me, you know, another chance. Do you think Jesus hears that? I do. But it's not going to happen. Because he's righteous, Brother Frank. He's told you. He's told you how it's going to be. Why wait? Why keep rolling the dice? Anybody in here know when you're going to die? How you're going to die? How many more days you're going to have? Why wait? Church, listen to who is going to heaven. Let's look back at the scripture this morning. Jesus said in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. What's he talking about? That gift that God's put in your heart, that he nurtures, that he tries to get you to pursue and you won't do it. You keep doing what you want, when you want, how you want, with whoever you want. Listen, you're breaking the heart of God. God's pursuing you and you won't return to him. And if you do return to him, you turn to him for just a short period of time, only to turn back to the things that he doesn't want you to turn to. Listen, why don't you quit breaking God's heart and turn to him today? Today. Last question. Do you know for certain that when you die, you'll go to heaven? Or are you going to break God's heart? Because I believe it breaks God's heart to look at his creation, one who he's created, he's nurtured, he's pursued all their life, for them to stand before him and to look at him and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Well, God, I went to church, but I never knew you. I sang worship songs unto you. I never knew you. I was baptized, yeah, but I never knew you. This morning, are you willing to do the will of God? Or are you going to break God's heart continually? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, this was your message. These are your people. This is your congregation. This is your church. As I said earlier, your scripture says, where two or more gather in my name, there am I also in your midst. Jesus, we understand that. We proclaim it. Lord, we're claiming it right now as we have this time of invitation. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move in a way that only your Holy Spirit can move. Convict hearts, open eyes, draw people, draw Draw sinners to their knees in repentance. Draw saints who think they're saints and aren't really saints, Lord, draw them to their knees. Help us to evaluate ourselves right now through the Holy Spirit's power to know who we really are. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Do you need to come down to this altar? I'm going to be standing right here at the front. If you know that you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to come and I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to show you what the Word of God says you must do. Not what the Baptists say, not what the Pentecostal and Methodists say, but what Jesus said every person must do to be born again, to have eternal life and spend eternity with Him in heaven. All of us have to do what Jesus said, not what some denomination says. I'm going to be standing right down here at the front. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and live for Him this morning, I want you to come take me by the hand.